Hey, and welcome back to Sunday Replay. My name is Jace, and this week, Pastor Mark is back. So here's Pastor Mark to continue our Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith series.
On this day, we celebrate Mother's Day, and our hearts turn to many expressions of love and care that nurture and sustain us. In this sacred space, we celebrate the diverse tapestry of motherhood that enriches our lives and our faith community. To all who embody the spirit of motherhood, whether through birth, adoption, fostering, mentoring, or caregiving, your contributions are cherished and celebrated. Your love, your sacrifice, your devotion shape the very fabric of our faith community and inspire us all. For some, we recognize this day, you know, it may be challenging, whether due to loss or infertility, strained relationships, or other circumstances. And may our hearts be open to offering solace and understanding to all who need it. Harmony, let us offer our gratitude for the bonds of love and kinship that unite us. Amen. And may our faith community be a place of refuge and affirmation where all are welcomed and embraced just as you are. In the spirit of reverence and joy, happy Mother's Day to all. Amen. It is a great day to be here with Harmony Faith Community, worshiping together and giving praise to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, and this morning we conclude our sermon series, Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith. And I want to express my gratitude to Rev. Jefferson Beaker and to Dr. Larry Hyde Jr. as they filled in for me on these previous two doubt faith messages while I was away. I was participating, as some of you know, as an elected delegate during the General Conference for the United Methodist Church. And while in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was there for two long weeks of legislative work, but I'm telling you, it was well worth the time and energy that was spent. Many significant strides and decisions were made, moving the UMC forward, becoming a more inclusive and affirming denomination. As you can see there on the monitor, there's a photo that captures the joy that we were experiencing in certain moments. Now, this particular moment was extremely important as it was a repeal of anti-LGBTQ plus language that's in the Book of Discipline, and it specifically removes this section that stated, no longer states. The practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. It's gone. Okay. Now, I'll have more to share about General Conference as well as what was accomplished and what we're how we're moving forward. That'll be in upcoming messages. But let's shift to the concluding message in our sermon series. But first, as I've been doing the past few weeks, I'm going to share a joke, a groaner with you. I don't know if Gaddison is in the house, but here we go. Are you ready? What did the praying mantis say after its prayer went unanswered? Well, I guess I'll just have to pray on my own. I know. Like I said, they're pretty bad. But this praying mantis, it leads us to this morning's focus. When prayers go unanswered. So, what does that feel like? What does it feel like when you pray to the Lord and your prayers, they seemingly go unanswered? Any thoughts, feelings out there? Go ahead and shout them out.
God always answers prayers. Sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah. But how does it feel? Does it feel good when you get your prayers are unanswered? Louise? It can be rocky,
disappointing,
feeling forgotten, lonely, rock your world, yes. When this happens, do you ever feel like you're struggling spiritually? Where the very foundation of your faith is shaken to its core, where your prayers, they seem to echo back silence, making you feel abandoned and alone and forgotten. And this may even cause you to sit there and go, why in the world am I even praying? Wondering, hello, anybody listening up there? Or even doubt the existence of divine presence altogether. But friends, this is very important what I'm about to share with you. Something that I'm going to layer into this message. It is in these moments of doubt that we are called to seek understanding and find solace in the wisdom of our faith. You know, it's so easy. Oh, it's so easy. When our prayers, they're all being answered, just like this, with ease. All the things that we've been sitting there desiring is all happening. But true faith, resilient faith, is forged in the fire of uncertainty and disappointment. I was reflecting this week on this message that I'm sharing with you, and the passage from the Gospel of Matthew, it's chapter 21, verses 18 through 22, and it came to mind, and I could cut to the chase and go right to verse 21, but I don't want to do that. I want you to see what leads up to that point. And so in the morning when he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the side of the road, Jesus went to it and found nothing at all on it but leaves. Well, then he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. And when the disciples saw it, they were amazed, saying, how did that fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Well, that seems like a clear statement coming from the Lord, right? Yeah, if we have faith, God's going to do whatever we ask. That's good. But I got to say, how's that working out for you, Tom Simmons? When you're working and you're praying there for the Dallas Cowboys to win a playoff game. Yeah, right? Definitely doesn't work. How's that working out for a pastor and his wife that I know trying to buy a house for their family, and they've put in 10 offers and they've been outbid each time? How's that working out for the person who recently spoke to me? They're looking for a job and they've sent out 100 plus resumes and they haven't been called into one interview at all. How's that happen to be working for the person that's seeking a place to live or an individual praying to find love? Oh, and we can just name some more. Unfortunately, there are some preachers out there who seize onto this passage, and there's others like it, who are willing to shame you because they are telling you, well, you know what? You just don't believe enough. And that's the reason why your prayers aren't being answered, because your faith's too small or you just lack faith. How does that make you feel? Well, we're not alone in this, how's that working out for you, department? I was looking in the Bible. I found a couple of examples I want to share with you. There we go. Psalm 22. There's King David. He's experiencing a lot of despair. He is pleading with Yahweh, and he's praying in anguish, to which he writes, my God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, and I find no rest. There's King David. All right, let's give you another one. How about the Apostle Paul? There's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul states, I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I received so that I wouldn't be conceited. I've pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me alone. And he said to me, my grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. And then there's Jesus. Shocker. On the night before Jesus would be crucified, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done." And despite Jesus' earnest pleas, the answer he received was silence. Jesus' prayer seemed to go unanswered, and he was faced with the cross. However, it was precisely through this experience of unanswered prayer that Jesus' obedience and trust in God were tested and ultimately reaffirmed. He surrendered his own will to the divine plan, trusting that God's wisdom far surpassed his own understanding. And it was through his obedience that the ultimate redemption of humanity was realized. From unanswered prayers, friends, we gain a glimmer of insight into the riddle of prayer. There's this, I love this observation that was made by a British writer and Anglican lay theologian, C.S. Lewis. And this is what he said. "The essence of request, as distinct from compulsion, is that it may or may not be granted. And if an infinitely wise being listens to the requests of finite and foolish creatures, well, of course, he will sometimes grant and sometimes refuse them. Invariable success in prayer would not prove the Christian doctrine at all. It would prove something more like magic. Will we get everything we ask for by faith? Not at all. I'm going to go back to the passage that I said earlier, and this is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 18 through 22. Now, I want to now look at verses 21 and 22. And is Jesus telling us that we can move an actual physical mountain into the sea? Yeah? Anybody?
No,
right? But just have faith. Just have faith. But this is a clear example of hyperbole, in which Jesus uses a metaphorical expression to make a point. This is extreme imagery, in which is meant to illustrate the magnitude of what faith can accomplish, rather than to be taken literally. The point that Jesus is making here is be bold. Be bold in your faith and in your prayers. Let's not hold it back. Don't be holding back from Jesus. And in so doing, we recognize that the mountains that the Lord speaks about, they aren't ones that are made of granite, but of the very things of our lives and of our relationships that seem immovable, like relationships issues or professional challenges or family matters, health problems, financial hardship. It's not easy to be waiting on the Lord for him to answer your prayers, is it? Yet, folks, God isn't a cosmic vending machine in which we pop a prayer in like it's a quarter and out comes a desired answer. Faith is not a transactional relationship. And it's important for us to remember this, friends, that God acts slowly. As American author Philip Yancey points out, think of the centuries that passed between the disruption caused by Adam and the reconciliation brought by Jesus. Centuries that included Abraham's waiting for a child, the Israelites waiting for liberation, the prophets waiting for Messiah. Biblical history tells us a meandering zigzag tale of dog tails and detours. God's plan unfolds like a leisurely opera, not a top 40 tune. That's some kind of slow. Nevertheless, an act of waiting works to nourish in us qualities of patience and persistence, trust, gentleness, and compassion. And in fact, it may take more faith to trust God when we don't get what we ask for than when we do. Hebrews chapter 11. Love this book, Hebrews, and especially this chapter, because it's called the faith chapter. And it begins with these words: faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. And then it's followed by this litany. It's a whole litany of acts of all these heroes of faith. Now, do you think all those litany of acts that they're just like, woo, we're going to get what we want. Here we go. Come on, bring it, Jesus. And they got what they prayed for by the end of the chapter? The answer is no. The chapter actually concludes with these words: all these people didn't receive what was promised, though they were given approval for their faith. God provided something better for us, so they wouldn't be made perfect without us. You see, faith calls us to trust in a future-oriented God. In the Christian tradition, we are reminded to pray without ceasing. Not because every prayer is going to be answered according to our desires, but because prayer is a pathway to intimacy with the divine. It is through prayer that we cultivate a relationship with God, opening our hearts to receive guidance and comfort and strength, even in the midst of unanswered prayers. As I bring this morning's message to a close, here's a quote I like, and it comes from Corrie ten Boom. And if you know anything about Corrie ten Boom, she was a Dutch watchmaker, but then became a Holocaust activist and a Christian writer. And I love this quote: when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. This quote reminds me of the trust that we have in God's guidance and sovereignty, even when we can't see the way forward, and even when we don't receive the answers that we seek. Faith community, unanswered prayers challenge us to deepen our trust in God, to cultivate patience and perseverance, and to develop resilience in the face of adversity. They invite us to re-examine our desires and priorities, to discern what truly matters in our lives, and to align our will with God's will. Let us embrace the mystery of unanswered prayers, trusting that the divine creator works in mysterious ways. And in these moments, let us draw closer to the source of our faith, seeking comfort in the knowledge that we are never alone. We're never alone, even in the darkest of hours. And above all, friends, let us trust in the wisdom and goodness of the divine, even when we can't see the road ahead. For in the end, it is faith that sustains us even when prayers go unanswered, and it is faith that ultimately leads us to the light. Amen. Amen.
It's time for the Sunday Replay Halftime Show, where every week we take a few moments to talk about opportunities that you have to engage with the faith community. Our family ministry director, Julia Dennis, is back from her maternity leave. We're so happy to have her returning and also so pleased to hear that her family is doing well. But Julia needs more volunteers to work with Harmony Kids on Sundays in person at 10:30 a.m. So if you are interested in teaching, helping, working check-in, any way that you can support our kids ministry, contact Julia and she would love to talk to you about what it takes to be a Harmony Kids volunteer. Her email is Julia, that's J-U-L-I-A, at hollywoodumc.org. Also, we have a new Bible study that started on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. called Finding Balance, and this is led by Pastor Mark. It's a 6-part study, and part one has already happened, but it's not too late to get involved. This Bible study meets on Zoom only, so it's a great way to connect even if you're not able to make it to Harmony in person. For more information or to get the Zoom link, you can contact Pastor Mark, and his email is just mark, that's M-A-R-K, at hollywoodumc.org. This week on the Harmony Podcast Network, we have a new Inner Harmony podcast. This is a meditation podcast led by our meditation ministry director, Reverend Jefferson Beaker, and we would love to have you participate in this act of mindfulness with us. Now, for the rest of today's episode, let's turn to an opportunity to learn.
She is the current president on the board of directors with the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. And as a quick sharing of her background, Rev Louise has been a volunteer with the Interfaith Food Pantry almost since its inception, which is amazing. And being an ordained minister in the Christian Church, which is Disciples of Christ, while she is retired, she, with active congregational work, Rev Louise still preaches and teaches when and where she is invited. And in addition to her work with the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry, Rev Louise teaches courses at Pierce College, and that's in world religion as well as history of religion with the Encore program. So what a joy it is for us to have Rev Louise with us this morning. Amen, Harmony. All right.
Thank you, Mark.
So, it is so good to see you today.
Thank you. It's good to see you, too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much.
So, unanswered prayer. Mm-hmm. We're going to jump into this. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, you've had some unanswered prayers or maybe not go the way you hoped they would, but then also being told by folks, well, you know what? You just didn't pray hard enough.
Actually, I've never had anyone tell me I didn't pray hard enough.
Oh, okay.
I have had folks come to me with concerns about their prayers being unanswered, mm-hmm. and they had been told by other families they didn't pray hard enough, or their faith wasn't sufficient, and they didn't know how to try any harder. Mm. And I have to say, personally, I've never had anybody tell me that.
Oh,
and I've never felt
goodness.
That myself, which doesn't mean
True.
That what I hoped for in prayer didn't happen.
Well, and that's a difference, too.
There's
is
a difference.
Sometimes we can feel that ourselves and no one's telling us, or someone's telling us and we're like, no, that's not the truth.
Right. Absolutely it is. You're absolutely right. Excuse me. And one of the things that turned my mind to a different direction, and I love that you put that slide up there about God not being a vending machine. You know, you don't put in your quarter, ask for a prayer, and expect an answer like that. That's not how God operates, and that's not the promise, mm-hmm, ever, mm-hmm. of how God operates. And I've seen, certainly, plenty of TV preachers, for example, praying and saying, you know, I command X, Y, and Z in the name of Jesus Christ. And I think, who the heck are you to command anything? You're not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a need to step back from our expectations, not our faith. That's different.
Yes.
But to understand, as you said too, that God has a long view. God has a much bigger picture than any of us ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And if we read scripture and understand, we can see exactly the point you made as well. Sometimes you have to step back and let God be God.
Yes. And you speak about the long plan. Has anything ever happened in your life where it's been, you had to go
sure.
with the long plan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of the time, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I think many of you have met our son, Neil, who's disabled. We've come here with him in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. Or he can ambulate, too, but we've had him with us here on occasion. And actually, really quick, he's moved out of our home. So he's now living in a group home with 5 other adults where he's being taken care of, and he can socialize with all of these other young people, people his own age and not his parents' age. How's that? And so I'm going to start with Neil.
Okay.
And at the time that he was an infant, and it was very clear as our third child, we could tell there was something not right, mm-hmm. almost from the beginning. The baby that doesn't make eye contact you and smile, mirroring back your smile when you smile. What's wrong with this picture? We didn't know he wasn't seeing well. That he wasn't able to roll over at or hold up his head at 4 months or roll over. Some of the things that we expected him to do, he wasn't doing. And at the pediatrician's visit at 4 months of age, the pediatrician said, let's go to a neurologist. So that was a Friday afternoon in desperation. 8 o'clock on Monday morning, I called the neurologist's office, excuse me, the doctor's office. And when the nurse answered the phone, she said, you know what? How soon can you be here? Because the next appointment available wasn't for another 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. They'd had a cancellation that morning. So did I know what to pray for? Heavens no! But I knew I had a lot of people praying for us, for our family, for all of us. And you have to let things play out. Mm-hmm. And that evening, he had a seizure. And you know what? We'd been to the neurologist that morning, and the doctor put him, while we were in the emergency room, on anti-seizure medication, and a whole new person began to evolve. I didn't pray for that. Mm-hmm. I just prayed, God, you know what's going on. Help us to navigate this. All right? So here we are 28 years later. He's moved into a place where he's somewhat self-sufficient, where he has contemporaries around him, and things just unfold the way they unfold. Is that my prayer being answered, someone else's prayer being answered, or is that simply trusting God to know what can happen, what will happen, what the best thing is for Neil or for his parents?
Yes.
There's a difference between saying, my child wasn't cured, so that's not, my God said no to my prayer. And I don't think God ever says no to our prayers. I think sometimes God says, let's take the long view here. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. But the long, oh gosh, playing the long game.
Oh, yeah.
That's not fun.
No.
Especially when you're in the mix and the thick of it. It's hard to see.
It hurts. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's really hard when your kid is suffering and you don't know what's wrong. Yeah. And there are lots of other things that I can think of the same thing. But it doesn't mean that God's given up on us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love. It doesn't mean God's not hearing our prayers. But, you know, sometimes it's, what is that, footprints in the sand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which in some ways is a little hokey. But at the same time, it's understanding that God has your back. Or that there are times when God is carrying you or holding you. Just keeping you held is good. One of the things that changed my understanding, I can't say it changed it, it really impacted it, was reading an excerpt from a book that was recently published, I'm talking 20 years ago, from a magazine called Christian Century. You're probably familiar with that.
Yeah.
And the title of it was called The Phenomenology of Prayer. How's that for a mouthful? Only a scholar could write that. To talk about something as deeply personal as prayer and talking about the phenomenology of it. All right? So what happens in prayer is part of it. But the point of this particular excerpt was not that prayer doesn't go answered, but sometimes we don't take the time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take the time to pay attention, which is what I appreciated about Jefferson's video, that sometimes in the midst of our prayer time, we have to stop and silence our hearts and our minds and wait on God. Just listen. And I had, when I finished that article, in my head a vision of like a couple of folks sitting in their rocking chairs on a porch and just sitting and being together. That there are times when you just need to be together and words don't matter. You don't need it. You know the love is there. You know the support is there. You know that someone's got your back, and you don't need to say anything. You think God doesn't know what's going on in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Ever? Or in the world? Ever? And so sometimes it's okay just to sit and to be with God and to wait upon the Lord. But it also means we have to silence our own hearts and sometimes the craziness that's going on in our heads. We can go carried away with our anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and our fears and our frustrations and our tensions. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of tension and stress in our lives, in the world. And it's okay to take a deep breath and to say, thanks God, I'm here.
Yes, amen. Yeah, I call it monkey chatter.
Yeah. Yeah, the Buddhists call it the monkey mind.
Oh, monkey mind.
That you're
mind,
leaping from tree to tree. You're just going and going and going.
Yeah.
And that's what we often do with our lives, that we have so many irons in the fire
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to settle down, to sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
And let God speak to us.
Yes, it reminds me. There's so much more I could have talked about in prayer.
Yeah.
That was just a snippet of some of the things that I could talk about with prayer. It reminds me when I talk about the monkey chatter. I love to drive, but I love to drive long distances. And so, for an example, when I drive, if I drive all the way to Phoenix, the monkey chatter goes on for at least 3 to 4 hours. I mean, it just goes up, and they're just jumping all over the place. But about by the time hour 4 to 5 hits, suddenly the monkey, because I don't respond to the monkeys. And I'm not talking about the band. But the monkeys, you know, they want you to engage with them. They want you to join the circus. And I'm like, no, homeboy is not playing in your circus, okay? So, but by the time then, and when I don't engage with them, then everything becomes quiet. And I actually can hear and feel God's presence because I have become still. And that's the verse that I love to hone in on. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
I hear you on that one for sure.
Yeah, but it's so hard.
It's very difficult.
So
it takes practice.
Oh, it does.
It takes a
lot of practice, especially those of us that have a lot of anxiety or we just got to get up and go all the time,
mm-hmm.
and it takes work. That's, yes, a lot. So I've got a question for you about prayer because should we be specific in our prayers or more general? What do you feel is appropriate?
So when you say specific, what do you have in mind?
Sort of like if you had an issue going on in your life, I should get rid of that issue in Rev Louise's life. And this is what I want you to do. Bop, 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 bop.
I don't pray that way.
No, and I don't either. I don't either, but that's what I'm saying. This is how...
I don't pray that way.
Right.
So the issues come up. There's no question that issues come up. And my approach to it now, mm-hmm. and mind you, I'm in my 60s, so it's taken a while to develop this attitude, too, is that it's more like, so God, what do I need to know about this? What lessons do you hold for me in this? How do I address this? And when it comes to somebody else that I'm concerned, that I love, I may pray for the stress to be relieved for so-and-so, or that you just continue to keep someone held as they're working through their chemotherapy treatments, or
mm-hmm.
or as a loved one is dying. Yesterday, we were at this service for somebody I've known for most of my life. She lived to be 100 years old. And
wow.
At first, I was sad when she died. And then it's like, all right, she did good. and it was a thank you, God. I know the family's going through stuff. So I just pray that they be held by God and in God's love. And I seldom pray for specific outcomes to specific situations.
Right. I know we're wrapping up, and you and I will get you back over here to Harmony. This day, well, and you know this, and your husband, Galen, knows this, is a tough day for me and for a couple others. That my mother passed away, and this was one of her favorite days, Mother's Day. And so this is my first Mother's Day without her. But I remember in the last part of her days on earth, alive, that I didn't specifically pray for, oh, keep on letting her live, but I did pray for comfort and peace and for ways in which God could work through me to provide that for her and anyone else. And it was amazing. This is the thing about keeping yourself open, my friends. It's not only for you to listen, but also to keep your eyes and ears open, because other people will be there as possibilities to answer your prayers. And I remember in that prayer in which I was lifting up my mother, and I'm not joking, within about an hour, I got a phone call from one of the church ladies that was nearby, and they said, you know, your mother always loved to sing, and we would love to come to the house and surround her bed and sing for her. And I was like, wow, thank you, God, for answering that prayer. Because then they were able to surround her bedside and sing some hymns, favorite hymns of hers, because I was able to share with them saying, yeah, she would love this hymn, she would love that hymn. And that meant not only, I know it gave my mother peace, but also gave me peace. And so that's part of our prayer life. So just thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that story,
Mark. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Great
to have Rev Louise with us. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay, where we're actually wrapping up our Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith series. Now, just because we're done talking about doubt does not mean that we're not going to wrestle with this doubt for the rest of the year. And if you're struggling with doubt or you have any concerns that you'd like to have someone pray for, I'd encourage you to contact Pastor Mark, and he'd love to talk to you, to hear about your prayer request, and to share that request with Harmony's prayer team. So you can contact Pastor Mark for more information about how the prayer team can be praying for you. In the meantime, I want to thank you again for listening to this episode. Our guests this week were Pastor Mark Stevenson and Dr. Luis Gobin. This episode was produced by Donna Miller and hosted by me, Jace Lucas. This podcast, Sunday Replay, is a part of the Harmony Podcast Network from Harmony Toluca Lake, a campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. You can find Harmony on Facebook at HarmonyTL or on Instagram at Harmony_TLC. Now, if you're listening to this podcast on a platform that will let you, we'd appreciate if you could leave a comment for this episode. And we know that not every platform does that, but if you can leave a comment, it's really helpful for us to hear from you about what you like and how we can improve this podcast to make sure that it is a listening experience that you enjoy and take something away from every week. And most importantly, that we're helping you to engage with God. We hope you'll join us for a new episode next week as we celebrate Pentecost. Until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.